Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, chapter entitled Understanding Material Nature. And today we are reading, is it verse 7 or verse 8 or what verse is it?
Verse 10.
10?
Yes.
Oh, it's verse 10, sorry. So we are reading today verse 10. Nivritta buddhi avastano duri bhutanya darshana upalabhyatmanatmanam chakshushevarkam
Atma
Drek Nivritta Bhujavastano Duri Bhutanya Darshana Upalabhyatmanatmanam Chakshushevarkam Atma Drek Nivritta Bhujavastano Duri Bhutanya Darshana Upalabhyatmanatmanam Chakshushevarkam Atma Drek. Please.
Nivritta buddhi avastano.
Nivritta buddhi
avastano.
Okay. Nivritta.
Nivritta.
Transcended. Buddhi avastana.
Buddhi avastana.
The stages of material consciousness.
The stages of material consciousness.
Krishna. Just a sec. Duri Bhutanya.
Duri Bhutanya.
Oh, sorry. Duri Bhuta.
Duri Bhuta.
Far off.
Far off.
Anya.
Anya.
Other.
Other.
Darshana.
Darshana.
Conceptions of life.
Conceptions of life.
Upalabhya.
Upalabhya.
Having realized.
Having realized.
Atmana,
Atmana,
by his purified intellect,
by his purified intellect.
Atmanam,
Atmanam,
his own self,
his own self.
Chakshusha,
Chakshusha,
with his eyes,
with his eyes.
Eva,
Eva,
as Arkam, the sun. Atma Drek, the self realized. All right, let me just do a little check here. A little check. Okay, there we are. And the volume is okay, devotees, yeah? Just give me a wave if the volume's okay. Someone. Okay. So, translation. One should be situated in the transcendental position, beyond the stages of material consciousness, and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life. Thus realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. Wow, amazing, really amazing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Consciousness acts in three stages under the material conception of life. When we are awake, consciousness acts in a particular way. When we are asleep, it acts in a different way. And when we are in deep sleep, consciousness acts in still another way. To become Krishna conscious, one has to become transcendental to these three stages of consciousness. Our present consciousness should be freed from all perceptions of life other than consciousness of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Duri Bhutanya Darshana, which means that when one attains perfect Krishna consciousness, he does not see anything but Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the perfect devotee may see many movable and immovable objects, but in everything he sees that the energy of Krishna is acting. As soon as he remembers the energy of Krishna, he immediately remembers Krishna in his personal form. Therefore, in all his observations, he sees Krishna only. In the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 38, it is stated that when one's eyes are smeared with love of Krishna, Premanjana Churita, he always sees Krishna outside and inside. This is confirmed here. One should be freed from all other vision, and in that way he is freed from the false egoistic identification and sees himself as the eternal servitor of the Lord. Chakshushev Arkam. As we can see the sun without a doubt, one who is fully developed in Krishna consciousness sees Krishna and his energy. By this vision, one becomes Atma Drik, or self-realized. When the false ego of identifying the body with the self is removed, actual vision of life is perceivable. The senses therefore also become purified. Real service of the Lord begins when the senses are purified. One does not have to stop the activities of the senses, but the false ego of identifying with the body has to be removed. Then the senses automatically become purified, and with purified senses, one can actually discharge devotional service. Okay. So in our Hindi page, where we have none of our guests, actually, just our regular devotees, anyway, are the volumes all right? Are the volumes all right? Can someone put a little message in the chat? Are the volumes all right? No response. Okay. We will carry on. All right, so I'll read the verse again. Nivritta buddhyavastano duri bhutanya darshana upalabhyat manatmanam chakshu shevarkam atma drink. One should be situated in the transcendental position beyond the stages of material consciousness, and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life, thus realizing freedom from false ego. One should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. My telephones, three of them, were taken away, so I can't check. I can't check anything.
There's no sound.
I tell you honestly, it's difficult. Everything's taken away. Okay, no sound. Well, all right. That's why we need. We need to have the things. Here's another class which we won't be able to publish because. All right. Anyway, I'll try to delete these parts. All right, now there's sound. Now there is definitely sound. But is there a picture? There's a picture. And now there's sound. Anyway, Krishna, I tell you. Anyway, step by step. But tomorrow, please leave me with a telephone or something so I can monitor. Because someone here has to monitor. If there's no one here to monitor, it's just a circus. It's a circus. All right, I'm just going to read the verse again. One should be situated in the transcendental position beyond the stages of material consciousness and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life, thus realizing freedom from false ego. One should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Jatarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse, this is Lord Kapila really going into things. on a really deep level how the devotee who is actually situated in the transcendental position and has gone beyond material consciousness perceives his own self just like the sun, just like he sees the sun in the sky. It's very amazing. This is discussed, we discussed this actually in Nectar of Devotion. We discussed, in fact, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the ripening process of a coconut. That, well, those of us, I think all of us probably, so many of us, who have been to Mayapur. You haven't been to Mayapur?
No.
Oh, you must go sometime. But not right now. Not right now. It's too dangerous. And there's too much to do here. But those of us who have been to Mayapur, we've all met Dobbs. Yeah, we've all met Dobbs. And it means a green, unripe coconut. Big. They're often, or they're usually fairly big. Some of them are really quite big, actually. And they cut them open at the top, they chop them open, and then they give it to you, and usually you get a straw, and you can drink this coconut juice from inside the green coconut. And it's fairly tasty. It's, you know, it's a little bit of an acquired taste, but it's basically quite nice. But it's very good for the health. It's very good for the health. So one is advised, when in Mayapur, drink Dobbs. At least like one a day, maybe two a day. At least one though. But so now, those coconuts though, which are not treated like that, they're not cut down from the coconut palm and then people drink them. They're just left there, left on the tree, or let's just say they're left on the tree. And then they mature more and more and more on the tree. And eventually, well, anyway, then, you know, at some point, obviously, they're cut down or they come down. And eventually, you get the fully ripened coconut. And all that liquid which was inside and which, you know, earlier on in Mayapur you drank, all that liquid dries out. And just all the liquid inside there, any wetness, dries out. And the inner, for want of a better word, let me say flesh, but the inner substance inside the shell, because all the liquid is just in one way or another drying out, it also dries and it shrinks. It shrinks because it was stuck to the inside of the shell. But now it's dried and dried, so the volume of it has reduced and it just separates from the inside of the outer shell. So then, what can be done is then you can shake the outer shell, and you will hear that part inside, the white flesh, which is now dried and shrunk and separated from the shell, you can hear it rattle. You heard that before?
No.
No? Okay. Anyway, you can do that. You can hear it rattle. So this example is given by Srila Prabhupada to illustrate how the eternal spiritual person is living within the temporary material body. But at this point, because we're so deeply attached in material life, we cannot, I mean, maybe philosophically a devotee can understand that there's a difference and that I am not this body. But the ordinary people, because they're absorbed in bodily consciousness, they cannot even understand there may be a difference between the body and the owner of the body. The devotees, they can understand intellectually, generally. I mean, they can understand. But in terms of, as we see here, literally seeing the difference, literally perceiving the actual difference, as Lord Kapila says, like seeing yourself and seeing the sun in the sky. The difference is just totally obvious. It's not, there's no question of mistaking one's identity with the identity of the sun. They're just, that you could say, physically separate and different. So like this, as the devotee advances and progresses in Krishna consciousness based on chanting Hare Krishna, then the devotee becomes purified, the consciousness becomes purified, and gradually one becomes freed completely from the bodily connection, and then one can exist within the body in one's spiritual body, as the original spiritual living being that you are. What may that be? We don't know. But for example, there are prayers of great devotees. Like the six Goswamis, as an example. There are prayers in which they're living as practicing devotees, they're chanting their rounds, and as we live, as what we call sadhakas. But inside, they are expressing, you could say, the beginnings of a perception of who they are on the eternal spiritual platform in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna. Therefore, we find, just as one example, there's a book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. It's not a big, it's a book. It's a poem, but it's about 120 something verses, a little over 100. So it's not just like your typical little poem, just one page or two. It's like a book. So in it, Raghunath Das Goswami, it's called Vilap Kusumanjali. In Vilap Kusumanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami expresses that, yes, I have got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I am practicing Krishna consciousness. I got the mercy of Sanatan Goswami. He encouraged me to live an austere life and not be materially attached. But then he starts expressing that he has at least the beginning of some perception of himself as a gopi, as one of the manjaris, means as a young girl who's an assistant of Srimati Radharani. And he starts expressing prayers to go beyond just some idea, some perception, to actually enter into that position. Like, when will I be able to assist Radharani in her meeting with Krishna? This is the basic idea. Yeah. So like that, this is a stage which very advanced devotees may go through. And then, when they're in such a condition that they're living on the material level, within the organism of the body, with their senses and abilities to perceive, but they're also living in as the eternal devotee, associate of the Lord. This is the type of phenomenon which Lord Kapila is talking about here. Realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky. You know, this is very elevated. We in our stages that we are in, our different stages, we should not start trying to do like that. But at least we can understand from what Lord Kapil is saying, and also what I mentioned about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. We should start to understand at least these things happen. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, at that point in his life, he was an old person. He lived to be, if I remember correctly, more than 90 years. I think it's 99 or... Anyway, he lived to be an old man. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, as I have heard. And so here he is. At the very least, he's an adult. At the very least, he's a full adult, but he is having some perception of himself as a young girl, the assistant of Srimati Radharani in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a particular example, which actually he's elaborating on what is in the verse, what is stated in the verse, that one should be situated in the transcendental position beyond the stages of material consciousness and should be aloof from all other conceptions of life. This is what he says, Lord Kapila, in the verse. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to develop and clarify this point, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the three stages of material consciousness. That there is waking, the waking stage. We are in it now. We are awake. That's called the waking stage. Then there is the sleeping stage, which is sometimes also called the dreaming stage. Because what it is referring to is that stage of sleep where we're dreaming. In other words, the mind is active. The subtle body is active. The gross body, physical, flesh and blood body, is completely inactive, asleep. But the subtle body is active, so we're dreaming of this and that. This is called the sleeping stage, or sometimes the dreaming stage. But then there is another, a third stage, which is called deep sleep, which means there is no dreaming, which means the subtle body is also asleep. Yes. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Jiva Goswami discuss these three stages in terms of consciousness being withdrawn one stage at another, after the other. First, the waking stage is the consciousness is in the body. Then the sleeping stage means that our consciousness is withdrawn from the body. And therefore we don't know where our body is. Are we lying in this way or in that way? Where are we? Our consciousness is withdrawn from our physical body. But our consciousness is situated in the subtle body, and therefore dreaming happens. But in deep sleep, the third stage, the consciousness is withdrawn even from the subtle body. Of course, we are eternally conscious. So our consciousness has to be somewhere. It's not that it's been switched off. It's just been withdrawn from the material system through which it manifests in day-to-day life. You follow the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. But now it's not in the gross body because the body's asleep. It's not even in the subtle body because now the subtle body is asleep. The mind has fallen asleep. Subtle body has stopped functioning. But consciousness is eternal, so where is it? It is in the soul. Our consciousness is situated in the self, which of course is the reservoir of consciousness. Consciousness is a possession of the soul. Yeah. So in that state, just like last night, let me tell you, last night I went to the bathroom at about 3, or just before 3, and went back to bed, and I went into such deep sleep. I heard neither my alarm, which isn't very loud anyway, nor did I hear my telephone. I slept through it all and only got up after Mongolarity began. How sinful, how fallen. Anyway, what to do? Because I was in deep sleep, way away. So I missed all those things. So, yeah. So, particularly Srila Jiva Goswami, he discusses this point of our consciousness being withdrawn from the gross body and then the subtle body. Then we go into deep sleep and our consciousness is in the soul. And we are conscious of ourselves. We're situated in a type of spiritual consciousness, although it is covered by deep ignorance, tamagun, because we're asleep. And he says that in the conditioned state, this is the closest a person can get to self-realization, being in very deep sleep. And therefore, people, after they've been in deep sleep, like me, when I actually woke up at about, or was woken up, by you, was it? At about 22 or quarter to 5. Ah, Krishna. I felt, wow, very rested. It was quite interesting. All right, so those are the three features of consciousness, and Prabhupada's point is that when we are in each of these different three stages of material consciousness, then our consciousness acts differently. When we're awake, our consciousness acts in one way. When we're in dreaming sleep, our consciousness acts in a very different way. And when we are in deep sleep, our consciousness acts in a very different way again. So similarly, Prabhupada's saying, to become Krishna conscious, one has to become transcendental to these three stages of consciousness. And we have to go through the process of freeing our consciousness from its absorption in different ways in material existence. And gradually, or eventually, or gradually, after some time, a devotee, a very advanced devotee, comes to this level, as Lord Kapila says, thus realizing freedom from false ego, one should see his own self just as he sees the sun in the sky, separate to one's conditioned self, so to speak. Yeah, one in one's conditioned condition. Yes, so therefore we have to perform devotional service. Prabhupada says, the senses therefore also become purified when engaged in devotional service. Real service of the Lord begins when the senses are purified. In other words, we are in a preparatory learning stage. But real service on a deeper level begins when the senses are purified. But to do that, one does not have to stop the activities of the senses. One has to carry on rendering service to the Lord with one's senses. But the false ego of identifying with the body has to be removed. Thus the senses automatically become purified. And with purified senses, one can actually discharge devotional service, means on that very elevated level of really interacting with Krishna. Of course, we are also actually discharging devotional service, even though we are learning. Just like when a person learns to drive a car, they may make many mistakes and get into different situations, which are the wrong situations for a driver. But it doesn't mean that they're not driving. It just means that they're not driving very well, and there's danger because they don't know how to drive so well, and they make mistakes, and the situation there demands a certain type of focus. But that doesn't mean they're not driving. They are driving. They're just not driving very well. So we are actually engaging in service to the Lord. But we are prone sometimes, whenever, depends on the devotee. In some cases it may be always. But we are prone to not discharge devotional service very well and to make mistakes sometimes, and therefore there's danger. For this elevated devotee, there's no danger, really. But for us, there's danger that we may become distracted. And sometimes we see some devotees, they go away from Krishna consciousness and they become engaged in material life again. And sometimes even if a devotee does not go that far as to leave devotional service, but sometimes for some devotees, however many, the mind goes into some meditation, some remembrance, some meditation about material existence, with some sort of idea that I might like to be engaged in material existence again. Sometimes these things happen to some devotees. But otherwise, we are definitely engaging in devotional service. It is not just sort of make-believe. Prabhupada gives the example of a child dressing a doll, or a child imitating the daughter by the child has a plastic stove cooking device, and the mother is actually cooking. The child, I don't know, makes some mud pies maybe or something, and has little plastic stove with little plastic pots, and the child is, in their mind they're sort of cooking, but they're not actually cooking. So our devotional service is not just a make-believe, just some sort of hallucination. It is devotional service, but it's sometimes not pure. Sometimes there are shortcomings. So we're learning and practicing, and even the child we mentioned is sort of learning and practicing to some degree. But we're actually learning and actually practicing, and the service is actually going to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being purified through being offered through Parampara. So it is real devotional service, not just some just some make-believe. So let us engage wholeheartedly in devotional service, beginning with chanting, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.